This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Joy Drive on Joy 94.9 FM in Melbourne, Joy on your digital radio, iHeartRadio, TuneIn.com or the Joy app.
A lot of clubs talk about community, but this one has had to prove it. The Wedgetailed Eagles Football Club, formerly known as the Kyneton Women's Side, has spent the past year in a fight for legitimacy. League politics, appeals, resignations, a sacking, headlines and some truly vulgar social media stuff that dragged volunteers and players right through the mud. And now they've got a pathway into 2026 and they're not going anywhere. Well, Nat Korinsky is president of the Wedgetail Eagles Football Club. Nat, when you got the news the 2026 season was locked in, what was the first thing that you did?
I was driving at the time, so I pulled over the car because I didn't want to crash. And yeah, just took a moment to take it all in and yeah, just call a few people that I knew wanted to hear the news as well.
Nat, it's Jax here from Game On. Congratulations, and it's really fantastic to hear that you'll be playing. What I thought we could do is to have a chat about how you overcame the blockers to play, because it was substantial, and maybe some advice for others, women, men, gender diverse people, players, coaches and volunteers who might be experiencing similar stories of exclusion, inequity and powerlessness in sport. Because I would imagine this may not be only one story. We did have an experience that filmmaker Mitch Navalas released a documentary called Equal the Contest, a groundbreaking documentary about their experience and the blockers of being able to play community football. So I loved how things came to a head at your protest training session outside the front of AFL House in Docklands. How did that idea come about? Did that move the dial for the team?
Look, it was definitely a big part of getting our message out there to a wider audience. So we had a fellow, Damien, who runs the Prune Masters page on Instagram, and he'd been checking in on us over the course of the year. He's just a really good person, a really good ally. And he just, you know, when everything kind of came to a head and we felt like we had nowhere to go other than to take the legal route, which we were trying to actively avoid, he just said, you know, would you be willing to do something a little more creative and interesting to kind of get this into more homes and get more people across it? And he suggested, would your players be bold enough to go and do a training session at AFL House? And I said, look, some of them won't be, but I reckon there'll be a good handful that are pretty keen to just, you know, have a bit of fun with it. So yep, that's what we did one Friday afternoon, and you know, it was lighthearted fun. It was there to kind of just show that these players are real people, and what is happening to them, you know, is pretty disappointing, and it affects genuine people and their love of footy. So while that might not have been the exact reason why we got over the line in the end, because we did request a meeting with AFL, which in good faith they did make that happen, and we looked at the processes and found a pathway going legitimately through all the processes, I think it was a really great step in kind of bringing more attention to our situation and letting people know that, you know, there's different ways to go about it, isn't there? So, yeah, it was pretty fun.
Natalie, let's just stepping back a little bit. We saw some pretty ugly headlines and some vulgar social media posts along the way. What impact did that kind of noise have on the players who just want to train and play football?
Yeah, look, it was pretty devastating when we started to see some of these other messages come out, because also what it kind of showed us was there were some odd things happening, well, possibly happening behind closed doors that were preventing us from playing. Like, it just seemed like there were ulterior motives and other agendas that we hadn't even planned for. And it's kind of, it's really hard to fight this ghost that you don't know. Don't know is there. And when that kind of stuff came out, while it was incredibly like hurtful and harmful to the players, I think it almost legitimized their feeling of, hey, there's some other stuff going on here, and it isn't just about the fairness of you being able to play. There's some weird ulterior motives in the background. So yeah, it legitimized our experience, I think.
Now, what sort of ghost, what do you think the ghost was? What was it?
I think it's those old boys club cultures that are just, they're everywhere at the moment. And, you know, I think, you know, clubs and leagues are trying to move forward, but there's still a few people in them that hold them back. And a lot of the time they do have a lot of power, those kind of, you know, those people that have been around for years and maybe haven't moved their thinking and, you know, become a bit more progressive with the times, and they're kind of holding these places back when, you know, I just look at sport as just the most beautiful, amazing thing that everyone can enjoy. And don't you just want more people to be part of that? And like, I think the sooner that we get to a place where everyone belongs in sport and we break down those walls, like, it's just better for everyone.
Natalie, Jack's here. I was surprised at the effort you had to go to overcome all the blockers, particularly in the fact that women and girls are playing footy in record numbers. You know, with the AFLW's expanded to 18 teams in 2022-23, they won a 19th team by 2028. They've increased their season from 11 games to 12 home and away games, and now it's in 4 weeks of finals. Longest season yet. What's happening? Where is the investment at a community level? Were you surprised at being blocked to not be able to join the Central Victorian Football League when you were welcome there?
Yeah, I mean, it did seem a little bit odd, you know, just to be like, why wouldn't you just, like, I mean, the RDFNL made it really clear that they didn't want us in their league, and that's their right to do that. They're an independent league that can make that decision for themselves, even though we felt it was pretty hurtful, and I personally thought it was a little bit discriminatory as well. But, you know, that's their choice, and that's what they did. But to kind of block us from going into another independent women's football league, you know, an hour away from them, that just kind of felt a little bit like, well, the word is for it, but it just felt, yeah, like it just felt a little bit wrong that they did that. It's like that old saying of, like, you know, you've got this ex-boyfriend and they, you know, they don't want you to be with anyone else, and it's like, come on, you just got to let us move on here, you know. So yeah, it was a really interesting situation, and I look back at it and think, God, you know, you could have just let us through and it would have all been over and done with by now, you know.
Natalie Kurinski is president of the Wedge-tailed Eagles Football Club. We're talking about their road to a 2026 season after one of the toughest off-field years you'll see in grassroots sport. Natalie, there was also a resignation and the sacking of Andrew Power. From your perspective, what did those decisions mean for accountability in local sport?
So I think, as reported in The Age, that he did just resign, and what they reported was that he didn't resign for those reasons. Apparently, that's what he has stated, but I don't think he was sacked, or that's not how it was reported. So I just want to make sure that's clear. But yeah, look, the stuff that he wrote was pretty. It was kind of hard to read, and you know, I've received further. Further messages from him in the last 24 hours that have been also pretty awful. So I just think, you know, we've got to hold this stuff, as uncomfortable as it is, you've got to hold people accountable to the standards that AFL are setting in their guidelines. And, you know, if you're not moving with the times and you're not being a respectful person, everyone has the right to kind of call that out. And it's not shaming, it's not a public smear campaign, it's just telling the truth. And, you know, I find it really interesting that as soon as you tell the truth about this stuff, they make you out to be like you're smearing their character. And I said, well, you've said it publicly, I'm just reporting on it. So, I think it's really important in this day and age that we do just really speak truth to these things, because that's the only way this stuff shifts. And also the hope is that, you know, some of these people that have made these comments, that maybe they take a bit of time to reflect and work on some of that stuff so they can maybe not make that kind of commentary again and maybe learn a little bit along the way as well.
Natalie, if the Wedge-tailed Eagles is a canary in the coal mine, and this is more widespread, as it was found with Mitch Navalis equal the contest with the Mount Alexander Falcons, a new community football club created for and by women and gender diverse people, what are some practical tips based on your experience that people can engage in to overcome sort of governance, policy, structure and cultural assumptions where the game's not evolved as fast as society has?
So I think there's a few things that I kind of try and speak about now is, firstly, you know, try and work with your clubs to shift this stuff internally, because we're not kind of telling people, hey, go and leave your club if these things aren't working. We want you to actually sit down and have some real honest conversations and do it without ego and, you know, without a preconceived idea. Sit down with your players from all the departments and have really open conversations and see if you can work together on fixing these things. Because I think that if you can sort that out at the first point, you're already halfway there, right? So that's the first thing I always try and tell people to do, is be open to listening and shifting things at your club and walking together and doing that, not just leaving it to one group to fix it. And then the second thing is, if that stuff doesn't work, like, we have to be putting pressure and accountability on the systems that are meant to take care of us. Like, there's an expectation that you walk into a workplace and you are protected by HR or by your union or whatever other practices are in place. But sometimes I feel like those systems aren't translated into community sport, and that's kind of what we came up against. Like, we just didn't really know where to go, and the systems weren't really working to help us as well as they should. So, you know, that is something that we're going to still be working on in the background, to ask government and to ask, you know, community sport groups to really look at those systems and make sure they're so clear for players and teams that if something's going wrong, that they have a real pathway to getting it sorted out, especially if the league won't step in or, you know, things seem to be breaking down. And then thirdly, I just say that, like, as clubs, you know, if you are doing it well and you want to see this stuff going better, you know, write to your local ministers, write to the Minister for Sport and Community Sport, and ask for them to be looking more into these areas and strengthening the practices and integrity around reporting systems, so people can be assured when they walk into a club that hopefully it's safe and equitable, but if it isn't that case, that there's something that can be done about it. You know, I think that's really important, that there has to be accountability if those systems break down.
Natalie, finally, what do you hope the players feel running onto the field when the round starts?
Oh, look, I just think I'm just so excited for it. And I just, I look, our team is probably as strong as it's ever been. And I think we're going to have a really good crack this season. And I just hope that people get behind us. And also we can be a bit of a blueprint for other clubs to say, hey, look how well they're doing it. Let's try and follow their lead. We're not perfect, but you know, we really want to kind of showcase how you should run a club and just make sure everyone in your community can be part of it.
When's your first match, Natalie, with the teal, white and black?
I think it's early April, so we haven't got the fixture yet because we've obviously just got entered in, so hopefully in the next week or two we'll have a fixture and we'll make sure everyone knows about it, that's for sure.
Natalie, great to chat with you. Thanks for joining us today on Drive.
Well, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you. Natalie Kurinski, president of the Wedge-Tailed Eagles Football Club.
Drive on Joy 94.9 FM in Melbourne, Joy on your digital radio, iHeartRadio, TuneIn.com or the Joy app.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.